That's our selection this morning, huh? That's unbelievable. That's great. It is so good to see you this morning. I'll just be real honest with you. I'm excited to teach this morning. I'm always excited to teach. I'm not real thrilled about what I've got to teach about this morning because it's just convicting my heart. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. I want to share just a couple of things going on. You're already like, oh, okay, I'm going to try to duck out here in just a second. No, it'll be good for all of us. Wanted to just say thank you to all the guys that have been doing this stuff all week long. A lot of places would, you know, hire people to like install stuff. Our guys have done all of this work this week, a bunch of men in our church, and I cannot thank them enough for all the time that they've put in. They've been here pretty much every night, and many of them even during the day. And we've continued to have electricians up here working, again, just donating their time and materials. It is absolutely ridiculous how much time has been put into doing this stuff. This is kind of like part of, you know, stuff that we always talked about. You know, one day, you know, we'll get to do some of that kind of stuff. And it's just awesome to get to see God allow us to get to do this, and that somebody would give money just for it is just an amazing thing. And if you missed last week, I kind of mentioned that, and just that we've been blessed with someone giving some money for that. But anyway, just thank you to Jerry. Jerry has really kind of been heading the whole thing up, but Jerry and all of these other guys, Jeff, Tim, Daryl, the list goes on, Jason, and so many others. I just can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. And if you want to thank them. That being said, the work is not done. They're still working on stuff. And in fact, this week, starting Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, if you have skills, certain skills here, okay? If you have skills with, you know, being able to build, like if you know how to cut wood, measure, things like that, I'm honestly not very good with that. You can come and cut wood, and I'll work on your Holley carburetor or something if you want to like swap up. But if you have skills, we're actually this week going to be starting to build a stage. If you haven't noticed, most of the stuff that's up here is actually portable staging. Most of it we've had since the glory days of being mobile in schools, and actually got it donated, the majority of it. In fact, these stages right here are stages that I had in a student ministry where I was a youth pastor years ago in downtown Nashville, and I knew that they were sitting in the church not using them, and I went over there and just like, hey, y'all should give those to us, and they did. And so, honestly, with Foxy Loxy up here like jumping up and down with his Jolly Green Giant self, these things like move and wobble, and we've all just been waiting for him to collapse. He's actually gone off of them a couple of times, and right here, I'm standing on two different stages. As he jumps on them, they move apart, and he's gone between them before, which has been pretty interesting for him. So anyway, needless to say, it's something also we've been just kind of putting off and said we'll make do, and we've been making do, and this week, we're going to be building a stage. So if you want a part of that, I have a feeling every night this week is probably going to be doing the building the stage thing, because it's going to take some time and effort to do that. So if you're up for that, come and hang out. I know that the other guys would love to have your help with doing that. That's Tuesday. It starts Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. I want to just say thank you for all of you that have been praying for myself and for the staff over the last week while we were gone on retreat. I can't begin to tell you the stuff that God really worked on our hearts about while we were gone together. And I think one of the things, and I was telling somebody this week, one of the things about, you know, us getting together, we've done staff retreat in the past. We usually do it twice a year, but it's usually like this 24-hour, like, boom, we're gone, because all the other guys have full-time jobs. If you didn't know that, they all work outside of the church, because we haven't been able to afford to get them to that level, hoping that that will change very soon with at least a couple of them. Because of that, we don't get the time together that, you know, maybe a lot of even just regular church staffs would get together, where, you know, they're hanging out in offices all day long, and, you know, they can just, you know, probably take for granted, because I've been in that situation. You take for granted that there's guys just down the hall that you can go, something's going on, you can go pray with them about it. Or you can, you know, go and talk, you know, and so, email and telephones, cell phones and all that help those things. But truthfully, even still, it's just tough for us to really plan. And so we'd never taken a 3-day staff retreat before. But we did that this week, and it was absolutely unbelievable. And as usual, we saw things and just felt God speaking to us and leading us in direction that are going to be like life-changing stuff for our church long-term. And I'm excited about some of it. We talked about, we prayed about future growth and how we'll handle future growth and all that kind of stuff. So just continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for our church. And thank you for doing that this week. It was awesome. And then wanted to just let you know, next weekend, we've got two more weeks in this series of Engage. Next weekend, we will be talking about a very important thing, a very important piece of the puzzle that I'm not going to give away. Of course, you could go read the scripture. You're going to figure it out because we've been pretty much going through the book of James here. But what we're talking about next weekend is a passage of scripture that I truly believe that most Christians completely miss. And because they completely miss it, they completely miss one of the very integral pieces to helping us overcome sin. So if you have sin and you want to overcome it, next weekend we're going to be talking about some really important stuff. I mean, the whole book's been awesome, but I'm just telling you, I'm just pushing it on you. Just make sure you don't miss next weekend because I think it's something that could just absolutely, it's going to challenge you. But I think it's something that if you can take it to heart and actually put it to use and actually follow through with it, your life will be changed. Your life will be changed. It's good stuff. So that's next week. That's if you have sin. Maybe you don't have sin. Maybe you don't have to worry about that. By the way, we all have sin. Just. I know this is the early crowd and all, but we all have sin, okay? All right. Don't be tough on me. I'll be tough on you back. I'm glad to get to share this morning. Let's just pray for just a second and just ask God to speak through his word. God, I thank you so much for allowing us to get to be here and to get to worship you. But God, right now, I'm really interested in you speaking and me not. God, I just pray, Lord, you already know you're convicting my heart. I pray, Lord, that we would all just be open to what it is that you're asking from us and that we would get a full understanding of why you're asking it from us. Lord, we love you, and I pray, Lord, that our time together in your word, God, I pray, Lord, that it would be real and that we wouldn't just take this today and go, oh, yeah, that's nice, but God, I pray, Lord, that we would apply it to our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that you would change us. God, the oldest of a Christian in here, that you would change us. Make us new today, Lord. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. This morning we're talking about oath. You're like, wow, what a word. Oath is one of those things that we generally don't talk a lot about. It's not a word that, you know, we're sitting around thinking about, but it's something that we do. And James brings a verse to us today. We're only talking about one verse in the book of James today. And it's James chapter 5, verse 12. And he talks about taking oaths. Now, many of us could, you know, kind of assume that oaths, you know, when we think of oaths, we think about, well, you know, you get on the stand in a courtroom and, you know, you take an oath to tell the truth. God has some things to say through James today about this whole oath thing. And in fact, we're going to see where even Jesus has some things specifically to say about it. And they're really not much different than James, but we're going to look at them. And this morning, I want us just to go ahead and just jump into this passage of scripture. Verse 12 of chapter 5, the book of James, it says this. It says, "But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and let your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." This is one of those things that I genuinely believe that because of the society that we live in and the time we live in, and I know you're used to hearing, you know, preachers go, oh, it's, you know, these days and, you know, and all this stuff. I get that. But I think this is one of those things that we like to just kind of sweep under the rug because our culture is so ingrained with doing exactly what this passage of scripture is talking about. You know, to kind of start off this passage, you know, you got James and he's saying above all. And right there when he's talking about above all, he's talking about in addition to and above all the things that we've just been talking about. And if you're with us last week was about patience in and perseverance in suffering. And definitely, James is writing a letter here. You know, he didn't knock this out into like, you know, verses. Somebody, you know, came along later and did that. And that's how we have, you know, verse 12. You know, James wasn't like, oh, here's verse 12, you know, and then write it out. James is saying above all, in addition to and above all, the perseverance and the patience that we should have in suffering. My brothers. And here's where he's calling everybody. He's kind of saying, "My brothers are saying, I love you, and I'm about to give you something that you're gonna want to shoot me over, but it's true because it's coming from the mouth of the Lord, and it says, do not swear." And I'm telling you, I don't know why, but our culture, even the culture of the church, has changed to this point where we have gotten to this point where we're just like, you know what? It's okay to swear. We'll just drop some bombs every once in a while, especially when we're like with other Christians and stuff. And many of you that are close to me and you're like close friends with me, you maybe have heard me say something before. And I got to tell you, I'm sitting here today and God is convicting my heart. And I have been repenting all weekend over this. And earlier in this series, we came to this passage of scripture where we see James again talking about, you know, taming the tongue. And this taming the tongue thing, this is a huge thing, and that goes all over the place. That's not just talking about swearing. That, you know, that's talking about gossip. That's talking about all these things. And we see these things, how these things can be hurtful to our ministry. Do not swear. Man, you're like, Chris, I get it. You know, I hear you. You know, but just every once in a while, and I just, you know, every once in a while is not going to cut it if we want to be disciples of Christ. And I'm standing guilty here. I'm not the preacher up here today saying, you know, oh, you're going to hell because, you know, you've been cussing this week. I'm so afraid this morning that this will be preached and this will be taught, and people of our church, people that are leaders even, that we will hear this and it will fall on dead ears, and that we won't be willing to follow it. And why? James is talking here in the verbiage that he's using. You know, he's talking to the Jews that have been scattered and they're running all over the place. And if anybody's got a reason to probably do some swearing, it's probably these guys, because they're on the run for their lives because they're Christians. Their lives are being threatened. Many of them have lost jobs. They've probably lost their families. And I mean, just some amazing stuff going on here that's, you know, not all that exciting when you're in the middle of it, but we see how God uses it later on. And with this passage of scripture, James is trying to help these guys. And in turn, God is using it to help us in understanding this is a key element of our lives. We'll get into a little more of why and all that stuff in just a minute, but I just want to keep going. And so with the whole do not swear, I mean, this is you know, a prohibition, if you will. This is a kind of a knockout, this whole idea that we would take oaths. And you say, Chris, okay, let's go back to the oath thing. You know, I've got the whole, like, you know, I'm in the court of law, and, you know, and I've got the, you know, I've got the whole court of law thing down, and I get on the stand and I have to testify and I take an oath and all that stuff. I want you to understand something this morning. What James is talking about, and even what Jesus is talking about, is, and we see this because we can understand this because we see in other scripture where we are called to come under government. He is not talking about the getting on the stand and taking an oath, that is a bad thing. He is talking about the kind of just going through life and just, you know, kind of doing whatever, and just like in those moments where we don't really care and just kind of lackadaisically just kind of throwing out oaths. Say, Chris, what do you mean? I'm talking about like this. Maybe this sounds familiar to you. You know, maybe you've been in a position before where you're telling somebody something and they're giving you this look like, I don't know if I believe you. And you go, look, I swear. And here's the issue. I think that the church in general, over the decades before us and in the past, when we've heard, you know, oh, it's wrong to cuss and it's wrong to swear and it's wrong to take an oath and, you know, and all of these things, you know, I think what has happened is where the church has missed this is they made this to-do list of things not to do. And they're like, you know, don't do these things. But there's no explanation as why. You know, and it's just like, oh, you know, Christianity is just about, oh, not doing this list of things, and here's all these sins, and we got to stay away from those. And here's the thing. What we've missed, what the church has missed, because at least I've never heard it taught this way, is that this is heart stuff. It's not that a four-letter word, or even, you know, because swearing is not necessarily four-letter words, by the way, but it's not that, you know, that these specific words or a word that's even built on sin many times, but it's the meaning behind them, and it's the showing that outwardly we don't trust God. You're like, Chris, what do you mean? Let's keep going. It says, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Now, we're gonna go to this whole heaven and earth thing here in just a minute. But James is bringing home something for us, and what he's saying is he's saying, you know what? Your speech, your life ought to live for itself. We shouldn't have to go through life going, oh, well, I swear I'm telling the truth. I swear I'm telling the truth. What happened to us just being people that know us know that we're telling the truth? Have we gotten to such a sad place as Christians? Because James is speaking to Christians here. Have we gotten to such a sad place as Christians that our mouth, that our word, that our lives live something other than truth? This is a heart. This is all about our hearts. This is about what's coming out because of our hearts. This is all coming out, and you know, and furthermore, it's a trusting in God. It's that if we believe in our heart that we're doing the right thing, we're following God, and we get in a situation and somebody looks at us and we're saying, this is it. James is saying, you know what? You don't have to add on to it. You can just spit out the truth. Because if your life is real, if you're living your life by the truth of God's word, and the truth of God's word is what is supposed to be coming out of our mouths, we won't have to swear by it. We won't have to convince people that we're telling them the truth because we don't lie to them. And because we're not hypocrites. I got to tell you, and there's scripture back this up. Go to the book of Ephesians 5 if you don't believe me. But, you know, there's something, especially for us men. If you're a man here today, there's something about us that we need respect. That's a God built-in thing with us. We want respect. You know, and vice versa, the ladies, they need love in such a way. I mean, there's some men go, well, I need some love too. You know, listen, we're not getting into it today. Go read chapter 5 of Ephesians. But, you know, the deal is that God built into us something about needing respect. And many of you can understand this. And if you have sons, you're teaching your sons as they grow up to gain respect. Be a respectable person, have a respectable job, whatever it might be. But that we would gain respect. And we want that respect from each other. That respect is only built on truth. It's only built on truth. You know, and of course, this is very opposite of, you know, and I don't think, you know, a lot of people in here necessarily, and maybe you do, necessarily fall into this, but you know, in a world where, you know, and I've worked in the business world. I used to work for a record label, and I saw kind of how things work. And it was actually a Christian company, but it was like dog eat dog. And I saw these people stabbing each other in the back all the time, and I kind of had this kind of odd job where, I won't get into it, but I mean, it was just, I was in this position where I heard people would come to me and they would just start talking, and they would talk about each other. It was just amazing to me how sinful it was. And over time, after working there, I had so many questions about, do these people really love God? And I think sometimes we tread on those lines, and you know, I wonder how many people wonder if we really love God because of the things that we say, because I can look back on that, and I know that that's a lot of the reason why I doubted whether or not they were being true to God. And I'm not saying at all that it's for us to judge one another. But here's the kicker. It's not only James that talks about this, but in the book of Matthew chapter 5, we have this in verse 34. It says this, check this out. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, middle of the sermon. Jesus throws this out. He says, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." Comes from evil. And I think, I just got to tell you, I'm so convicted about this, it's tearing me all to pieces. I'm convicted that I've set a terrible example to some of the leaders in our church for it. See, this isn't just about cuss words. This isn't just about like stumping our toe and saying a word that's not even a bad word. This is about whatever comes out of our mouth being built on truth and being uplifting to one another. That means inappropriate talk about sexual behavior. That means inappropriate talk about things that we shouldn't just be talking about. And I mean, we should be good judges of this stuff. We don't need lists. It shouldn't be about lists. James is having to deal with this because it's an issue. He's seeing that it's an issue and that it has to be dealt with. But the issue isn't necessarily that they're just saying stuff. The issue is that these folks' hearts aren't built on truth. And there's people running around calling themselves Christians, and they're just, you know, they're just living life, and they're no different than anybody else. But that includes their speech. And includes their speech because many of them had just said, you know what? Not going to worry about that. Not going to get too legalistic here. You know, and if any of you know me, you know that I'm the furthest thing from legalistic. But when it comes to God's word and when it comes to his instruction about our lives, we got to hear it. We got to pay attention to it. If we don't, we miss it. We miss things that God wants to do in us. And you say, well, Chris, you know, I'm just so comfortable talking the way I do. For us to just kind of adopt that ideal is for us just to say, well, God, I don't care what you think about how I should live my life. And here's what we miss. We miss God getting to use us in ways. You see, if our speech, if our lives would speak truth in everything that we do, do you know what would change? Everything around us would change. People would start to trust us. People would know us as people that are good for our word. People that love God and that we genuinely just love them. Nothing else attached. Nothing else attached. Not because, you're in ministry and you want to grow your ministry or, anything. Just because I just love God and because of that, I just love people and bam, that's what we're called to do. It's hard to hear because I think that we know. I think that we understand that, this isn't necessarily about cussing, but it includes it. It's about an understanding that God is showing us that our hearts are just a little bit jacked up and that we need to bend them in His direction and not our own. And I'll just be honest with you. I used to not have a problem with this. This should not be a real issue with me. Now, I'm sure I fell in. I know that I fell into the sin some, but I don't know if it's just the freedom that because I'm a lead pastor and there's nobody like looking at me going, oh, you shouldn't, whatever that, I'm under God's leadership, and I shouldn't behave that way. More importantly, my behavior should show that there is an inward thing happening in my heart that is completely bent toward God. And that's what this is about. This is a test of our character and our integrity. James earlier in this book says, tame the tongue. Tame the tongue. It comes even into more focus and into much an even bigger picture when we start thinking about it in this way, that he would ask us to do this. But even passages earlier in this book when he says, don't be double-minded. I mean, think about that for just a second. Don't be double-minded. When we are double-minded, that is when something that is not truth comes out from us. And we're mixing it up on, we got this happening and we're saying this 1 minute, and then the next minute we're saying this. And it's because we're being double-minded in our heart. We're trying to serve two gods. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't think that there's anybody in here that doesn't struggle with this, because at the end of the day, you may say, well, Chris, I don't cuss. Again, that's not what this is about. This is heart. This is heart issue stuff. It includes that. But again, it's not a do not do list checked off from Jesus himself. It's a where is your heart with Jesus right now issue. Are you living out truth in everything that you do? We can't serve two gods. And you say, Chris, gosh, I thought I was coming today and I was going to be all jacked up about, stuff. And I'm just here to remind you that you can be. Just here to remind you that we can still be jacked up about what God's doing. We can still be excited about it. Because this is not a, this is, and please hear my heart this morning. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. If I come across harsh, it's because I'm preaching to myself. God is convicting my heart. This is not a Debbie Downer message. This is one more key into our freedom in Christ. This is one more key into unlocking God's will for our lives. Because when we seek His will and we start to live that out on a daily basis, even in this stuff that we're so used to just going, oh, well, it's okay. It's all right to do that every once in a while. When we seek out following God and saying no to sin, we grow in Christ. We are more capable of doing things for the kingdom of God. And in our obedience alone to Him, He will give us more. It's the parable of the talents. It's so many parables that Jesus taught of when He gives us something for right now. And when we will take it and use it to do God's will and not fall into the pitfalls that come along with those things, He's going to give us more. You're going, Chris, I don't know if I can take more. Believe me, it's an awesome place to be in the middle of God's will. There is no better place to be. And if we need anything this morning to help put this in perspective for us, I have two words. The cross. The cross. Because when we sin, we break God's heart. And when we sin, we're standing at the foot of the cross and we're the ones that are throwing rocks. And we're shouting things at Jesus while he's dying for us. And God is saying, look, I'm not asking you to not do this because I have this not to do list. I'm asking you not to do this because you're missing out on freedom in me, that when you follow me, I will be able to do and will do things for you. Ministry opportunity or otherwise, that will bless your life and more importantly, bless the kingdom of God. Because when we follow him, he is glorified in us. God is made more famous every time we say no to sin. And it may not even be in the eyes of somebody else, but it'll be in his eyes. And you know, sometimes we just don't even think, we think that, you know, giving glory to God is all about doing stuff in front of other people. And we see that talked about in scripture too, and that's for another day. But it's not all about that. It's all about just pleasing God. And I don't know if you've got anybody else in your life today that you're trying to please and that you would do anything for, but I'm telling you today that there's nobody that should come second to him when it comes to just pleasing somebody. We should be interested in pleasing God. And that comes from our obedience even in this stuff. And so this morning, I pray that you hear my heart. I pray that God is speaking through his word into your life. And I pray this morning that, you know, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I pray that you would understand that we're not a bunch of judgmental hypocrites, but that many of us are just trying to get it right. And that in the midst of trying to get it right, Jesus saved us from our sin. Despite the fact that we still fall into it, Jesus saved us from it. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know what that means, or you've never experienced receiving Christ as your Savior, I and some other guys would love to talk to you. The band will be coming up and they'll be playing here in a few minutes. And I would love to just get to talk with you, pray with you, so would they, about what that means. We'll be on the other side of that wall in the hallway. You can slip out while they play, and would love to just get to see what God is doing in your life. For those of us that are Christians, this is a heck of a challenge. Not an easy one. Not for me, not for you. But we're called to it. We're called to be set apart. We're called to be different. God expects much of us so that much can be made of him. This morning, the ushers are going to come and they're going to take the offering, and I want us to pray about our hearts, just even in that, just even our giving this morning. And I would ask if you wouldn't mind, let's just pray for that this morning. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, it hurts, but it's good. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient to you. God, not for the sake of being legalistic. God, that's not where we're going, and you know that. God, I pray, Lord, that my heart in that would come across, that your heart in that, more importantly, would come across. God, I pray, Lord, that we would just live to please you, be obedient to you. God, I pray, Lord, that our hearts wouldn't be bitter in that in any way. God, that we would just recognize that we have sin, God, and that we would be willing to repent for it. And God, right in this moment, right now, God, I know that that there are people here probably that need to repent. And so, God, I just pray that right now, as they're praying to you, God, I pray, Lord, that we could repent for where we have fallen away from you in these things. God, we know better. We know better. God, we're sorry. Forgive us for where we failed you. God, and this morning as we take up the offering, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be right in giving. God, that we would be excited and that we would be praying over what it is that you're going to do with that. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would multiply it out as I have seen you do in just the last few months in our church, how unbelievable it is to see you move through something like that. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would take it, you would use it for your kingdom, that it would glorify you in every way, that we would be obedient and as a church is how we spend it. And God, just guide us and direct us in all of that. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be obedient through giving. God, for anybody that's here and doesn't know you this morning, God, speak to their heart. Urge them towards you. Draw them near to you. God, that they would go speak to someone in the hallway, catch a friend after church or whatever it might be. God, we love you. May our worship prove that to you in our hearts and not just our actions. In your name I pray.